to the UK. Harriet Lyne is our correspondent. Morning, Harriet.
Good morning.
Well, everyone was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the full release of the full Sue Gray report to determine the Prime Minister's future. Is there an element of success in that the time this has taken some of the sting out?
Without a doubt. I mean, these revelations began to emerge at the end of last year that a host of parties were held inside Downing Street while the rest of the country was obeying those stringent lockdown rules that were, in fact, set by Number 10, those very people who were accused of partying through them. The allegations at the time provoked utter fury well beyond Westminster, and the Prime Minister looked, I think, like his time might well be up. A Prime Minister who's often described as a Teflon politician because nothing sticks. And I think at that point, it seemed as though every day that Boris Johnson survived in Westminster was a real victory. But he called for an investigation, which was started and ultimately led by Sue Gray at the end of last year. The police then launched their own investigation, which resulted in more than 120 fines for COVID rule breaches in Number 10 and Whitehall, which the Prime Minister was among. He received a single fixed penalty notice for his birthday party in the Cabinet Room in June 2020, not organised by him, a surprise bash, but a rule breach nonetheless, as the police found. But that Met Police investigation delayed the publication of the report led by Sue Gray. We had an interim report a few months ago, but today, finally, it emerged. And that report really was quite a damning read. It laid bare details of these gatherings in Number 10, at which officials, some of whom drank so much that they were sick, so they sang karaoke. Some became involved in altercations, and they were even accused of abusing security and cleaning staff, all at a time when millions of people across the country were unable to see friends and relatives, family, in those dying in really the most awful circumstances. And the report today included photographs of the Prime Minister at some of these parties, including one of him standing at the cabinet table during his birthday bash, and another where he appeared to be raising a toast to a departing special advisor. Now, Sue Gray condemned the wider culture that had been allowed to develop under Boris Johnson's leadership of the country. In Number 10, she said that some junior officials who attended parties believed that their involvement in these events was permitted because of the attendance of senior leaders like the Prime Minister. And she said that that senior leadership at the centre must bear responsibility for this culture. But that said, this report was nowhere near as damning for the Prime Minister as I think had been anticipated. He got off pretty lightly compared to some of the other officials who were named in that report. I think the most striking one for me was the then senior advisor to the Prime Minister, Martin Reynolds, who's and the unfortunate nickname of Party Marty in the tabloid press in Britain. In some WhatsApp messages that were part of this report, he boasted that we seem to have got away with a bring your own booze garden party as other parties emerged. And other heads have already rolled over this. Some listeners will remember Allegra Stratton, who was the advisor who was pictured laughing about the parties, but she didn't even go to one. And Boris Johnson tonight looks pretty firm in his position. He said that he recognises that people are indignant over the findings of the report, but he's defied mostly opposition calls for him to resign. He came out really fighting today. The report came out shortly before Prime Minister's questions. He faced it in the Commons. He then gave a Commons statement. And then he gave a press conference, and then finally he addressed Tory backbenchers, which is arguably the tougher of the crowds, given they are the ones who determine his fate. And he said that he takes full responsibility for the scandal, but he did try and play down his personal involvement in the gatherings that were outlined in the Sue Gray report. But I think it's fair to say that this could be very, very different had this come at a different time. As I said earlier in January, knives really were out for the Prime Minister and it looked like his time might well be up. But since then, the political mood has changed. In Britain, we've got a cost of living crisis. And of course, the war in Ukraine has really, I think, widened people's opinion of the need for politics to do important things. And a lot of people are of the mindset that Partygate is not important, that lots of people broke the rules across the country, perhaps not to this level, but it's a long time ago. And I think lockdown feels quite a long time ago, that people generally are quite keen to move on. Polling does suggest that a lot of people do want the Prime Minister to resign, but crucially, Tory MPs don't. Only two put their head above the parapet today to say that the Prime Minister should go. So I think tonight, despite the photos, despite the revelations and despite the criticism, I think the Prime Minister will be feeling quite lucky.
If people have moved on from anything that reminds them of lockdowns, they certainly haven't moved on from the other hangover we're all having, which is the cost of living. Now, how much of that is being sheeted home to the government, and how much are they able to fend that off or to hold up some soothing balms of some sort?
Well, there's a lot of pressure for the government to act, and they've been quite reluctant to go further than they already have. There was a expensive £9 billion package unveiled earlier this year to try and help with the energy costs, but that's widely seen to have not gone far enough. And just yesterday we heard that the price of fuel is going up in the autumn, so to heat your home, is the price cap is around £2,800. That's £800 more than it was. So there's a big global element to this, which the government says we can't take full responsibility for. But at home, they can do things on taxes, on the way they tax, and the support for the most vulnerable. And interestingly, despite the sort of reluctance for the government to act in the last few weeks and months, where they've come under sustained pressure, tomorrow, the day after the Partygate report is released, seems in the government's eye to be the perfect opportunity to act. So we're expecting the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, to unveil a £10 billion package of support designed to help struggling families through the crisis. We're expecting him to prioritise the most vulnerable, with measures funded through a windfall tax, a one-off tax on oil and gas giants whose profits have soared enormously because of the soaring wholesale or soaring wholesale price, and therefore soaring prices that we're all paying. We think that tomorrow he will unveil a major increase in the Warm Homes discount scheme, which is worth around £150 at the moment to 3 million low income households. We think that's going to go up, and we're also expecting a council tax rebate to be included. There were calls for him to step in and scrap VAT on energy bills. That stands at 5%. Doesn't sound like that's going to happen. Exact details are yet to come out. But Boris Johnson yesterday said that he wants to do everything we can to help people through the crisis, but that household financial pressures are going to last for a while to come. This evening, it's emerged that the Chancellor might scrap plans for a rebate and clawback scheme that was going to give people £200 off their energy bills from October. Energy companies would have recouped the money in higher bills over the next 5 years, which obviously led to criticism, but it sounds like that's no longer going to happen, and it's going to be a bit more money for everyone, because he will convert that loan into a grant to be distributed by energy companies with no requirement to pay it back. And that could mean that it's about £400 for everyone.
How successful is this fight back? It's really interesting off the back of the Australian election result. Two things to observe. How are Conservative parties going to fare? But perhaps more generally, how are incumbent governments going to fare in the stress times we're going to have economically post the pandemic? And we'll come to Labor in a moment in the UK and how effectively they are able to push home any of these points at the moment. But do we have a sense of the latest polls? Is it a disaster at the moment for the Conservatives, or have they clawed back some ground?
I do think it's a disaster. The Tories would point to the fact it's midterm. You've often got a slump. You've had a Conservative government for 12 years. Those things considering, they're doing remarkably well. But if you look at things like trust in the Prime Minister as an individual, it's quite low. But broadly, voter intention is not that bad. A lot of people, you just have to, walk down a street and vox pop individuals for their opinion. A lot of them will say, I'm not a Tory. I don't like the Tory policy, but actually secretly, I do quite like Boris Johnson. So I don't think he's faring as badly as he could. And I think that's a real problem for Labour, because Labour at this moment, when there's criticism on things like the cost of living crisis, as well as Partygate, Labour should be pushing through. I think the Prime Minister's won back quite a bit of support through his handling of the Ukraine crisis. He's really quite adored, I think, as well as well respected in Ukraine for his handling and his leadership of Western allies in their response to that crisis. So I think that's definitely won him back into favour among a lot of perhaps critics of Partygate.
Just a minute left to deal with Keir Starmer and how he's going. Perhaps his own, the own attempts to smear him, he would say, with any kind of connection to partying over the time might be in retreat as well. But what about the ability to gain any sort of traction on some of these other matters?
Some of these other matters. Well, I think Labour tomorrow, when the windfall tax is announced, will see that as a real coup, something they've been calling for weeks. And the government sort of struggled really to explain why a windfall tax isn't a good idea. Even most staunch Conservatives point out that Margaret Thatcher used something very, very similar in the early years of her premiership. So I think Labour will see the windfall tax as a massive U-turn from the government, something they've pushed them into. So they'll be feeling quite victorious on that front. And I think they've been quite strong on the economy in a way that the Tories perhaps haven't. But yeah, Keir Starmer is facing his own quite serious allegations about Beergate, as it's called.
And is he not shaking those off?
If he gets... Not yet. I mean, there's a police inquiry underway. If he's fined, he said he'll step down. So, his political future is pretty unpredictable for now.
Harriet, thank you. Chief Political Correspondent for the Daily Mail.